When a group of high school students from Harlem came to the stage for the youth presentation, Esteban Lazo Hernandez was visibly touched. He is, after all, a principal instigator in the national and international education program in Cuba. He turned away from the lectern, and it soon became clear that his dialogue with the youth would take precedence over his speech. He told them that an essential part of education is to learn critical thinking.
¿Quién fue Fidel Castro?
Who was Fidel Castro?
¿Quién es Fidel Castro?
Who is Fidel Castro?
¿Alguno de ustedes me podía hablar?
Could anybody from you could talk to me about
no la que Fidel empezó
history,
en el año,
not the one that started back in
1960
because
con
this
Cuba.
Neighborhood is a place of solidarity with Cuba.
Cuando él vino a,
when he came to the United Nations
hotel,
and they wanted to take him out of a hotel, and he said that he was going to camp out on the grounds of the United Nations building. And then the solidarity of this neighborhood took them in, and they brought him here for a hotel named Teresa, which I understand doesn't exist anymore. For that reason, this rally of solidarity has so much value for us. But I will tell you one thing. I will tell you who are young, and for ourselves who are also young, and who can say otherwise. Look, Fidel, for you to have an idea, all the campaigns of lies which are carried out against the Cuban Revolution, and particularly against himself. You're students. Do you believe that if you are told lies and lies and lies, would you learn? Then you learn the lies, but you don't really learn. And if they repeat things to you over and over again through ads and everything, then you have a conditioned reflex in your brains. And then when you have that conditioned reflex in your brains, can you think? You can't think. That's the objective that they sometimes try to pursue through lies and propaganda. To create that conditioned reflex in people to prevent them from thinking.
Lazo Hernandez also told the students that once you know the truth, you must live up to its consequences in your actions and stand for justice. He spoke of the life of Fidel Castro as a model for this commitment.
Now I will ask you one question. Do you believe that a man who is born to a rich family and who leaves all of its wealth behind to devote his life completely to the poor and to the humble, can you not believe in that? A man who has fought for years and years on end as part of the student fights, can you believe in that person or not? A man who has fought and planned to organize an attack on July 26, 1953, with a group of young people on one of the major garrisons in our country, and the fact that they had a military defeat in that assault, and the fact that most of his comrades were murdered, the fact that he was taken to prison, taking into account the strength of the people and the demands made by the people, and he was released after spending more than 2 years in prison. And he did not go back to his parents' house. He left for Mexico in order to put together an invasion to continue the struggle and fight in Cuba in favor of the poor and in favor of the humble. Can you believe in such a person or not? And the fact that he arrived on December the 2nd, on that yacht that you recall, Grandma, it's the name, and we're going to celebrate the 50th anniversary of that landing now, and the fact that they had a battle there, which is known in history as Alegría de Pío battle. There they endured another military defeat, and when the boat was coming, and it took some time to arrive because it was delayed, and on November the 30th, there was an uprising already put in place in Santiago de Cuba in order to support that landing. But then the ship took longer to arrive because it was carrying 82 men on it and it was too heavy. But then during the journey, a man fell overboard, and that man said, we have to return and pick that person out of the water. Can you believe in such a man or not? You can. But then when everybody thought that everything had come to an end, his brother arrived.
Raúl,
a young person, and he told them, when Fidel saw him, he said, are you alive? Do you bring any guns with you? And he said, yes, I have brought 5 rifles, plus 2 more that I have. That makes 7. Do you know what Fidel answered? He replied, now we're going to win the war against a heavily armed army. And one day after so many years, Raul was telling, that day I thought that my brother had gone crazy. But then I realized that he was not, because life proved him right. Do you know what that is called?
Defender.
To defend ideas in which a man believes at the cost of any sacrifice, and not to see himself vanquished ever. But then with those 7 men and another group, by even taking weapons away from the enemy, the continuity of that struggle continued,
de la lucha.
Of our army.
And
on January the 1st, 1959, the revolution triumphed.
La revolución.
And that man who said,
con 7 fusiles,
with 7 rifles we're going to win the war, was there. But as of that moment, he always educated the people, and he told the people, we are not done. Now the struggle will begin.
La lucha.
But one day, he saw how in a farmer's house he was being harassed and trampled upon.
De un campesino.
There were some planes bombing. That farmer's name was Ramon.
Y le hizo una,
and he wrote a letter to Celia.
Que decía,
in which he said, Celia,
después que vi lo que hicieron
after I saw
a casa de Ramon,
what they did against Ramon's house, I have reached the conclusion that my true destiny will be the struggle against imperialists.
Y ese ha sido,
and that has been his destiny.
Since the early days of the Cuban experiment, every U.S. government has openly advocated for the overthrow of the revolutionary regime by force or by deceit. Esteban Lazo Hernandez turned to the audience and reminded them that the price for freedom is vigilance.
Do we need any transition? There are those people who want us to need it. Because on April the 8th, 1960, somebody from a place that is close said, the only way to put an end to the triumphant revolution in Cuba is by preventing any financing from arriving there, foodstuffs, clothes, so that the people will rough it, then rise up against the revolution. That's the origin of the blockade. And that has been
la lucha permanente por el bloqueo,
the ongoing struggle against the blockade. So there is no humanism when you act like that. How can you get people to endure out of political interests?
Por eso,
for that reason, since we're there and since we have endured everything, they have hatred towards us.
Y lo que odio.
Because of that revolution that we came up
como
with.
Nos duele cuando vemos
in the same way
que fue el primer país que logró la independencia en este continente,
rehearses us to
en 1804.
That in 1804, when Haiti was the first
que es un
country in this continent that reached its independence,
que han tenido,
and it seems that they have been punished forever. Where do they want to put that punishment?
Ayudando a los que
by helping those who from here want to destroy the revolution.
Como ese Posada Carril,
the
que
terrorists,
valor
like
de dirigir,
Posada Carril,
y es confeso.
A confessed terrorist who confessed to putting a bomb on a plane with 73 young people that blew up in the air.
Eso lo tenemos que pagar.
That's the price that we have to pay.
Felipe Perez Roque is Cuba's foreign minister and part of a young generation of leaders who more than ever believe that Cuba has an important leadership role to play in shaping the future of nations.
La semana pasada,
last week, Cuba hosted the summit of the non-aligned countries. 118 countries took part in that summit in Havana. All of the African countries attended. Countries from the third world. More than 50 heads of state or government were present. And Comrade Lasso had some intensive work there, receiving the visiting leaders by participating in the summit as a member of the Cuban delegation. However, Fidel, whose health is getting better, can increasingly resume his duties. Of course, he had to undergo a serious surgery. He lost 40 pounds. He's now starting to exercise. He has started to put on weight again.
Fidel
and Comrade Raul asked Lasso to lead our delegation to the General Assembly. And today in the morning, he spoke on Cuba's behalf as chairman of that movement of non-aligned countries, and also on behalf of those 118 countries, he informed the United Nations on the major agreements reached at the Havana summit. However, tonight was a special night, because it was the opportunity to have a contact with you, who are a cross-section of the best of the American people.
De lo mejor
of the best of the Cuban community living in the United States. And it was also the moment to extend our thanks to you for your ongoing work of solidarity towards Cuba. We have come to say thanks, but we also come here to ask you not to give up, because the danger for Cuba is still looming up in the air, and it is increasing, because the blockade has been tightened and it is viciously enforced against Cuba, because secret plans are concocted against Cuba. And because this government has proclaimed this right to launch a preemptive war in order to bring about a regime change in Cuba and against those countries like Cuba, which do not give up, which do not relinquish their dreams of equality and justice and stand their ground defending solidarity. We have come to ask you not to give up on your ongoing solidarity towards Cuba. Because if the Cuban Revolution were to be defeated, if the Cuban people were to be vanquished, the peoples of Latin America and the Caribbean would be less free, and all of the honest men and women who around the world are waging a battle to have a better world, then these men and women would also sustain an important defeat. As Jose Martí used to say, we'll rise up for all the times to come. We thank you.
For Cuba in Focus, this is Fred Gwynne.